Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now, make a return to the program. Like a guest appearance. Like he used to be a regular and like a special guest appearance from CBSSports.com. Let's welcome in Will Brinson. Will, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. We just got some hail and a couple thunderstorms and a tornado warning down here in Raleigh.
Oh, sweet.
By the way, I don't a guest appearance. You guys got lucky. You got a you got me with no kid in the background.
Oh,
yeah. It usually terrorizes every moment of my life.
All right.
But we just got back from Disney World, and I sent him off to school today.
Well, that's nice. Very nice of you to do. And when did October come back into the calendar, by the way? But Westgate, 8.5 over-under for the Ravens. We were talking earlier, Vinny and myself, about the improvements they have made. The losses, certainly on defense. Have they done enough to replace the number one ranked defense and the personnel issues there? But what do you think about the 8.5 as we speak, Will, on May 13th? And of the win totals over unders, what is your favorite one if you were a betting man that you would go for?
If I were a betting man, right, exactly. My thing with the Ravens it's just hard to get behind the over is one. There's a lot of teams in that 7 to 9 range. The game of football is weird. You're going to have teams that win 6 games that could have easily won 10 games and teams that win 10 games that could have easily won 6. And I think that the Ravens were as good and consistent as they have been under John Harbaugh. And as much as I like the coaching staff and as much as I like Lamar Jackson and some of the moves they made. And I think Eric DaCosta has done an exceptional job in his first off season as GM. I do think that the Ravens are in that range of teams who could win somewhere between 6 and 10 games. And, either outcome wouldn't be surprising. I would lean under right now, primarily because I think when you look at this offense, you have to have a lot of questions about what it's going to be, right? So, they had this incredible run down the stretch last year with Lamar Jackson running the ball, terrorizing these teams in the second half of the season with this rookie quarterback and this aggressive downhill offense. The problem is when you look at the defenses that he played in that stretch, they got, you talk about if you were a gambling man, you got black came up 42 times in a row on roulette. You drew 6 of the 7 worst rush defenses in the NFL in consecutive weeks, which is just, it is mathematically, that's really, really hard to do. And I think the Ravens, as a result, were very lucky to do that. I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to develop into a really good quarterback. I think it's going to be tough to have him operate a high-octane passing offense when your top two weapons are Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin, two great, twitchy athletes, but rookie wide receivers. And again, you add Mark Ingram. I like that move. I like Gus Edwards. Justice Hill was a steal, and that was the Flacco pick, by the way. That's a really nice move by DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome, whoever was pulling the strings on that one. But as a whole, I think it's tough to really get behind this Ravens offense. And with the Browns improving and the Steelers underrated, in my opinion, I would probably lean under at the moment.
Now, I was just going to ask you about the Browns. Are you big on the Browns like everybody else seems to be?
No. If I'm a betting man, I am hammering the Steelers this offseason. I think the Steelers are the best value in football right now. You can get them at 2-1 to win the division. Are you kidding me? They were the Westgate had them when they opened. I don't know what the playoff props are right now, but the Steelers were +110 to make the playoffs. That's crazy. For a team, I guess they lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, but the underlying moves show a team that really could have a lot of success. My favorite bet this offseason might be Ben Roethlisberger to win MVP at 50-1. I know that didn't answer the Browns question, but I just think that part of the Browns thing lies with the Steelers and the fact that to me the Steelers are an undervalued team because they lost some star power. Cleveland, I really like. I love Baker Mayfield. He was my number one quarterback coming out last year. I was all in on him. I thought he should have been the rookie of the year. Odell Beckham is a superstar. They got him in a trade, and it's a fantastic move to get him in a trade. Nick Chubb is going to threaten to lead the league in rushing at some, maybe not, if not this year, at some point in the near future. Jarvis Landry, Antonio Callaway, David Njoku, they got tons of weapons. They only got better on defense. It's a really good team. I just think that we're sort of missing the forest a little bit for the trees here, because there are some question marks, and they are pretty big question marks. Freddie Kitchens, I really like. I think he is a unique, authentic Southern guy. I want him to succeed. I think he comes across with the appropriate amount of Southern swag. I think he's going to inject that team with a lot of life. I think he's a creative offensive mind, but he's a first-year head coach, and you never know how these guys are going to perform as first-year head coaches. Additionally, the tackle position is a major red flag. I mean, we don't know how that offensive line is going to be as a whole either. And so, to me, I want to hold off on coronating, or crowning the Browns, as it were, because offensive line with a second-year quarterback and a first-year head coach are major, you know, question marks for me. Now, if those aren't problems, this team can challenge for the division and certainly can challenge to make a deep playoff run. But, the expectations are so ridiculously yes. high for the Browns. If they don't win 9 games, people are going to be burning Cleveland to the ground. And that's not where you want to be as a franchise.
Well, the thing about it is, Will, their schedule, I mean, home Tennessee at the Jets, then the Rams at home, then at Baltimore.
Right. What if they start 0-4? People are going to call for Freddie Kitchens' job and, like, bench Baker? I mean, like, you guys know it because, you know, it's in the division stuff and you pay attention to the Browns. But when you talk to, like, Nathan Zagura, who does the Browns Daily Show, and I had him on and we were talking about this at the Combine. Or he had me on and we were talking about this at the Combine. It's the expectation is 9-plus wins in the playoffs. I mean, this is a Browns team that has won 8 games the last 3 years. That's not how the NFL doesn't work. You don't. I mean, sometimes you see a switch flip like that, and that's been the case with the Bears and the Rams. And I get it, but I think that the expectations for those teams were much lower than they are for the Browns. I just don't think it would be surprising at all if Cleveland went 7-9, finished third in the division, lost some close games. Because they had a first-year head coach who wasn't in that scenario before. Baker, you know, didn't I don't think he's going to regress or anything like that. But, you know, if they can't run the ball behind that offensive line, they could struggle a little bit on offense. And so 7-9 wouldn't be a shocking outcome for the Browns. And if you say that this offseason, people treat you like you're a lunatic.
Will Brents at CBSSports.com joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fad, talking some NFL with you on this Monday. What about the Colts? Are you in love with them, Will, as much as a lot of the expert types seem to be right now?
Yes. I do. I really do love the Colts. I think the Colts, when you look at we talk about the Browns, right? If you take the Browns and you look at their question marks and then compare it to the Colts don't have question marks in the offensive line. We know their offensive line is going to be good. It's going to protect Andrew Luck. They're going to be able to run the ball effectively. And additionally, we know that Frank Wright is very capable of scheming up an offense that can be, you know, aggressive in terms of running the ball. And if for some reason, you know, Marlon Mack isn't healthy or they need to lean on Nyheim Hines in the passing game, you know, he can run a quick quick passing game offense. I just don't think there's no concerns and no questions about that offensive line or that coaching staff. The division maybe is a little bit harder. I'm not in love with what the Texans did. You know, Deshaun Watson's going to have to stay healthy, and we don't know how they're going to protect him quite yet. They clearly got sniped by the Eagles in the draft. I really like the Tennessee Titans until I found out that their offensive coordinator is he's just the grandson of the guy who owns FedEx. I'm not bashing him. I just
Arthur Smith.
Like, all right, right. Arthur Smith. And like, I mean, like he might be a great coach. I just you look at the pedigree and you're like, all right, like how is this going to work in terms of his first, you know, job running an offense. Like, I mean, if you know him better than I, maybe you know him better than I do. Maybe you think he'll be
good. I worked with Arthur. Yeah. His dad is Fred Smith.
Right. Is he going to be a good offensive coordinator? I'm not knocking the guy. I'm trying to pinpoint question marks here for these various teams. And I think the offensive coordinator is one for the Titans.
Now,
get your package there on time.
Right. Which team that was good last year is going to be the biggest disappointment in your opinion?
I mean, I think the Ravens are a candidate.
Oh, come on, man.
Why not?
Nah, I don't.
Again, if
Lamar can't throw it accurately, they got a chance to be.
If Lamar completes under 55% of his passes, they're not going to run the ball like they did last year. They're just not going to do it. It is not sustainable over the course of a full season. And like you remember the Bucs game, and Lamar had that one scramble where he's running down on the right side of the field. He's like 20 yards downfield, and he sort of falls forward, and he's down. He gets bumped in the back of the head, and it looks like he might have gotten concussed. It wasn't even a really dangerous play. It's just his style of running. I don't know if I don't trust him the way that I trust someone like Russell Wilson, maybe I'm trying to think of another example, but like I don't think he's as bad as RG3 in terms of a guy who can get hurt. I just don't know that I trust his ability to make the smart decision to avoid contact and, you know, not try for the extra yard. I think he tries too hard to get that extra yard, and that's how you end up getting in trouble as a running quarterback. Russell Wilson's Carson Wentz is a big problem there too. He does the same thing. He thinks he can plow dudes over. Big Ben did it early on in his career. It just doesn't last. And even Cam Newton, who is a superhuman freak of nature, you know, has dealt with injuries because he takes a ton of shots to his body. So that's a red flag for me with the Ravens. I think one team that people are sort of sleeping on that could fall back to the pack is the Los Angeles Rams. You know, we talk about a Super Bowl hangover, happens all the time. You see teams that we saw with the Ravens before. We saw it a little bit with the Eagles after even they won. The Panthers, it happened when they lost. Teams, you know, go to the Super Bowl, suffer a tough loss, and then you lose some personnel because that's just what happens when you're one of the few best teams in the league. Jared Goff wasn't great down the stretch last year. Todd Gurley is a major question mark. Mm-hmm. The offensive line, isn't getting any younger. And defensively, I love Wade Phillips and trust him inherently, but we've seen sometimes his numbers dip a little bit after the first year or second year in terms of production from that standpoint. And they've lost some personnel. I think nobody's questioning the Rams' pedigree. And that's sort of a red flag for me too. Like the 49ers can make a big leap forward. I think the Cardinals will inherently be improved because they don't have that coaching staff from last year that really pulled them down. And even if they're not good, I think they'll be more of a pain in the butt for a bunch of teams. And then I think the Seahawks have done a really nice job of sort of reinventing themselves on the fly. So I think the Rams are the team that to me, I'm surprised no one is even pointing at as a team that could fall back.
Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Will, always appreciate your time.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Will,
for the insight. We'll catch up soon enough, I'm sure.
Let's do it sooner than later.
You got it, brother.
Got my number. All right, guys. See you.
Yep. Will Brinson, CBSSports.com.